When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much, as always, for joining me. I say as always, my second day back of this year. I think we're all still in a little bit of a flurry of, it's New Year 2023. Is it started? Is this what it's going to be like for the rest of the year? We're in crisis. Or are we in crisis? Are we in a challenge? Certainly Steve Barclay, the Health Secretary, got in some hot water with his NHS fans for saying the NHS problems were a challenge, not a crisis. Is everything in this country now a crisis at all times? Some would say we have a crisis on our complete lack of understanding of maths as a general population. Try to get someone to understand even basic things like fractions and percentages. Well, people don't know. They don't understand. Why not? Well, because a lot of them don't study maths to a decent level. A lot of them aren't taught maths to a decent level. What a surprise they're not, when nearly half of schools don't actually have anyone who's trained in maths teaching maths. Imagine. Well, what do you make of the Prime Minister's plan? He's going to announce in a speech later today that compulsory maths should be on the agenda, on the curriculum for everyone at school until the age of 18. Well, we'll talk about that and plenty more besides with all of my top guests today, including Conservative commentator Benedict Spence, who joins me right now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Judy.
When I told you about the story as you arrived this morning, your first word was, oh, no. Tell us your GCSE maths score.
Oh, I got a C at GCSE maths. Now, I'm not even sure which letter of the alphabet that is.
Okay, now here's the thing. I think this is a crucial thing, the crucial issue we have in this country is there are, as my regular listeners and viewers will know, Benedict Spence is an incredibly knowledgeable, highly educated young man. I'm even going with the young. I'm being nice. Okay, I mean, genuinely, I don't think anyone listening to you or watching you could think that this is not someone who's well-educated and knowledgeable.
I'm sure there's someone out there. good morning, Father.
Your girlfriend. Yeah. Okay, and yet, it is totally socially acceptable in this country for someone to say, I'm a highly educated person, you can have your Oxford degree, you can whatever, but I'm useless at maths, I can barely add up, I'm useless at it. It would never be socially acceptable for someone to say, I'm a perfectly clever educated person, but I can't spell and I can't read properly.
I don't know. So have you met many of our MPs?
So what's the difference then?
I don't know actually what the difference is. I think it might come down to how it is taught as much as anything else. I mean, it's one of those things that I could not wait to stop doing maths when I was at school. Not just maths, physics and chemistry as well. I could not wait to stop doing
them. You just weren't on the science side.
Just wasn't. Well, biology, fantastic. You know, I waltzed through that. But it was simply, I just wasn't interested. And I do think in hindsight it was the way it was taught. Because since leaving school, I have taken more of an interest, certainly in physics and chemistry, and I found it's not actually that challenging. But I do remember it being incredibly challenging at school.
But this is it. So a lot of it does come down to how it's taught. Now, it's interesting to say, so Prime Minister today, this is his first sort of set-piece speech that he's going to be making today over the new year. And he's saying all children will have to study maths until they're 18 under his plans. Reimagine the education system, the Times says. He says it's his personal mission. It's all about seizing control of the political agenda. I have to say, I'm not sure that people whose elderly relatives are not getting an ambulance coming to pick them up when they've had a fall or waiting for cancer treatment or children who have missed out on, you know, 1.5, 2 years of proper education and people who are worried about paying their heating bills. I'm not sure they're sitting at home with their hot water bottles as I do in the evening now going, if only we all studied maths to the age of 18, all of the world's problems would be solved. I mean, if he wanted to make one announcement today about we're going to improve the country, that number one would be we're going to build 1 million houses this year. That, yes. That now that would be life changing for not just those million new homeowners, but for actually the, you know, employment and training. This, I mean, he's basically saying this is a priority now, and I think that's a wonderful priority to have. And I think it's, he says this is personal to me. He said every opportunity I've had in life began with the education I was so fortunate to receive. His parents came here as immigrants, worked very, very hard, had them, good for them, and they sent him to Winchester College, a very expensive private school. He said it's the single most important reason why I came into politics, to give every child the highest possible standard of education. And he said we've made incredible progress since 2010 with the right plan, the right commitment to excellence. I see no reason why we cannot rival the best education systems in the world. And he's right. But is this a number one priority?
Well, if that's the issue, that it's a matter of optics, then no. But I'd rather that he had and was putting out policies that had already been thought through and were ready to go, rather than rushing things out for the sake of headlines. I agree with you. There are many very pressing things that are affecting people in the short to medium term. But those problems in and of themselves, a bit like our education crisis, are decades in the making. And they're not things that can actually just be solved by a Prime Minister coming out a la Boris Johnson, go, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, Z thing, I'm going to do them now, let's not bother about the details. That kind of doing policy on the hoof is part of the reason why we find ourselves in such malaise.
And this is the thing, isn't it? Don't announce a vision. I mean, I don't mind you announcing a vision if you're in opposition.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. Right, okay, and now we're maybe 2 years away or a year away from getting into government possibly. Now tell us how you're going to plan to do it, how you're going to pay for it, how you're going to recruit the people and everything. But otherwise, it's like me saying I'm going to be a supermodel. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, my vision for this year is I'm going to be a size 10. I mean, I don't want to be a size 10, but, you know, but it's not going to happen. You have to have a plan for what you're going to do. Now, this does follow the findings of the Times Education Commission. They reported last summer, they called for the creation of a British baccalaureate. So the system, you know, the international system is obviously from France originally, where you've got this sort of broader academic and vocational qualifications all the way to 18. You're not just narrowing it down to, say, you know, 3 A-levels or 4 A-levels. But the reality is, you know, an awful lot of pupils are not at school at 18.
No.
They're in some sort of vocational training. They're doing an apprenticeship or something like that. Well, are those... your youngsters are going to be required to go to compulsory maths lessons as well? I mean, is this a classic... are you going to be coughing the whole way through the show?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I've forgotten that this studio is very dry. Yes. I need more coffee is what I need.
Is this just a classic example, and as we have this with often when conversations between politicians and, frankly, the media elite about education, where we're all so obsessed with, like, the sort of schools our kids go to, the university education we expect them to have, is completely out of touch with the reality of most families and most young people's lives.
I wonder if it's more just sort of the headline-grabbing thing, and that actually, if you're able to improve maths from earlier on, that won't be necessary that everybody does it to 18. And I do feel actually quite strongly, as somebody who was absolutely or felt absolutely useless at maths, it shouldn't actually be so difficult. For some people, it's just ways of teaching it. If you improve that from an earlier age, actually, I don't think there's any need to take it to 18.
And his argument, I think, is that, again, they've had this policy on literacy as well. They've massively improved literacy by, you know, teaching properly, not going, here's a picture of a cat, and then saying that word is cat, and expecting kids to know how to read,
well,
as opposed to going ka-a-ta and using proper phonetic. I mean, genuinely, I mean, frankly, there's a whole generation of teacher training college staff who frankly, should be taken out and shot, in my view, in terms of what they did to children in comprehensive education, in terms of their learning. But we should do this. I'm wondering, again, how they're going to manage to actually find enough teachers to teach maths to a decent level at any level. Almost half of secondary schools, it was reported only a couple of months ago, almost half of secondary schools are using non-specialist teachers for maths lessons. You can't teach a grade A in maths GCSE, let alone A-level standard of any sort, or even teach decent maths at all, I would have thought, actually, to primary school level, if you haven't got some sort of qualification in maths.
Again, it's something where this is going to take a long time, actually, to implement, because you need to find the people who are good at maths to train them to be the teachers to then get them in.
You and also they can't have just... to pay them enough.
But that's the other thing, isn't it? It's a bit like, you know, in the NHS when we talk about staffing crises and stuff. You know, people want to be paid enough to be able to live on and live decently. They don't just want to subsist.
But that's not the whole point. The whole point is, so he wants, you know, to have a sort of high-skilled, paid economy. Mm. Well, yeah, the reason why a lot of people do maths degrees is you can go off, get a job in industry, in banking or whatever it is, you know, you know, engineering. I mean, and you could be earning twice as much as you would as a teacher. And okay, you don't get the holidays, but you know, you could afford to go on holiday.
Maybe there's a way of getting around it where perhaps your university degree is funded if you do a certain number of years as a teacher or something like that.
I'd be very happy with that. I mean, that's the thing. I just wonder how viable it is. I'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch with me. Rishi's now wanting all pupils to study maths up to the age of 18. I'd love to know your personal experience. What helped or hindered you most studying maths at school? Did you have a fantastic teacher? Did you have a useless teacher? I was really lucky. I had really good maths teachers. I still didn't get that excited about the subject. I don't think I would have wanted to study it all the way to 18. But also, what sort of maths should we be learning? That's the crucial thing for me. Is there's an awful lot of people who sort of, you think, oh, they think, oh, I'm rubbish at maths. They're watching the PDC darts final last night. They can do the maths on whether or not they need a double or whether they, you know, they need the treble or whatever. I mean, a lot of people who say they can't do maths, they can work out the odds and what they'd earn back from a bet on the horses. I mean, we just don't teach maths in a way that is accessible and feels useful. Maybe a little bit of education on finances, maybe on interest rates
or a tax return.
How to budget, the difference between net and gross. Maybe making maths a little bit more
practical
and applicable to your real daily life.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.